This episode of Country Squire Radio is brought to you by Missouri Meerschaum and the Tin Society. We thank them for supporting this show, and we thank you for supporting them. Welcome to Cut Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
JD!
Hey, Bo. Good evening, dude.
Man, good evening to you, sir. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, man. Just so much, gosh, so much going on right now. I feel like I say that every week. I'm just a broken record. It's, lots of moving parts, you know. The shop's moving. We're getting ready for that. And slinging a whole bunch of pipes, man. We got everything from Costello's and Dunhill's moving out of the shop all the way to, tons of Savinelli's and Briarworks. I don't know. I have a very good feel about the pipe community right now, man.
That's good.
Things are just vibrant. You know, it makes you feel good. It's a good time to be a pipe smoker. So,
man.
Man, things are going great. What's going on with you, dude?
Well, you know, I'm rocking and rolling. By the time, obviously, this hits the airwaves, so to speak, hopefully we'll be on the sunny. Or possibly stormy. I did check the weather and it's not looking good, but hopefully I will be on the beach.
Yeah, dude.
Enjoying a frosty beverage and, man, some Panama Jack Pina Colada. Thank you for hooking me up with that.
No, I did. I felt like you needed that. You know, it was just, it was good. You've earned it.
Little vacation treat, man. Yeah. I'm looking forward to it.
It's good.
All right, but so we got to pull the curtain back a little bit because, of course, we typically record the shows actually live with people to be able to watch our ugly mugs. for those that enjoy
our faces
that.
For radio, right?
yeah, just to validate the fact that you really shouldn't watch us. That's why we put it out there. But typically we do it live. However, because I'm out of town this week, we're pre-recording the show, and it kind of is this weird, interesting thing because with podcasting be delayed audio and delayed content, we don't necessarily get to do breaking news. And so there was some breaking news that occurred like
today,
the day after we recorded last week's episode, but also then the day of recording the following week's episode. Yeah. So what we're going to share
so
with you.
It's so convoluted. Yeah,
it's breaking to us. But at this point, you all know about it. But
right.
For those that don't necessarily follow the industry all that meticulously and who might be interested.
Yeah.
So. What's been going on in the wonderful world of legality and federal regulation?
Yeah, and all that kind of fun stuff.
And
pipe smoking.
Paperwork, right? And pipe smoking.
Well, it's interesting. Of course, we're going to dive into this deeper next week.
Next week, at a special episode teed up.
Special episode just for this, but I'll just from the 30,000 foot view of this deal breaking today as we're recording. As most people know, of course, the FDA handed down all these regulations affecting the entire tobacco industry. They were given the authority by Congress in 2007 or 2008, I believe, to regulate all the premium tobacco products. And so a couple years ago, they came out with all the regulations relating to that. And it heavily affected the pipe industry.
Yeah, and as so, we've discussed
and
covered.
On and on and on. Yeah. And it still is going to affect the pipe industry quite heavily. This is a big shift in our way of thinking, our industry, how tobaccos are processed and sold and wholesaled and all that kind of stuff. It's certainly going to affect all this. But today it was announced that the federal court that has been hearing a lot of there's been the lawsuits that have come from the industry that have been filed against the FDA. Basically on behalf of people like us, pipe enthusiasts, pipe retailers, tobacconists, cigar rollers, cigar manufacturers, all the people involved with this that have been affected, thousands and thousands of people, the lawsuits have been filed on our behalf by our trade organizations, particularly Cigar Rights of America and IPCPR, the International Premium Cigar and Pipe Retailers Association.
Wow, look at you quoting the acronym.
I know, right? It's good stuff, right? Yeah. Well, we hadn't had any boodles tonight, so that
right,
that helps. Don't ask me that on a Squire Select night.
Yeah, but, of course not.
Yeah, so these lawsuits had been filed, challenging the FDA's ruling, and there was some hesitation. You know, a lot of folks thought this was might be a lost cause, and frankly, there was a lot of discouraging news that came down today because the judgment from the particular court that this was in, I believe it was a U.S. district court. The judgment was not favorable overall for the tobacco industry. Cigars got hammered. The user fees, fees for applying for new products and all that kind of stuff. The artwork that is going to have to go on cigar boxes and all kinds of different tobacco products. Overall today for the tobacco industry was a bad day. But oddly enough, for yours truly and for other retail tobacconists that are out there, there's a really important small piece of this deal that affects retail tobacconists. And we were all really concerned about. And today it was announced that part of this judgment, one of the very few parts that went our way, was actually pipe specific. And it was where the retail tobacconist would not be treated as a manufacturer. And that was a really big deal with the FDA ruling. So it's a big victory for us. Regulations were written, it would have treated a shop like the Country Squire or Ewan Reese or whoever as if you blend pipe tobacco, you would be a manufacturer just like Philip Morris or Lane or whoever that makes anything. Anyway, we're going to unpack this more next week, but it is a big victory for craft blenders in retail settings all over the country, and a big win for the pipe enthusiast community.
It really is. So that's kind of just the quick high levels. You heard, there's good, bad, and ugly as kind of part of this ruling.
It's really convoluted. But for those of us that are into purchasing hand-blended pipe tobacco, this is good.
Definitely a moment to celebrate in the midst of all the chaos.
We'll unpack that more.
A much, much bigger, deeper dive into that. So for those of you interested, be sure to check out next week's episode. But this week, man, we've got a special guest joining you here on the show.
Dude, I know.
Man, talk about a bit of an industry heavy hitter, if you will.
That's right. That's right. Of course, one of the most renowned and revered names in all of pipedom is of course the Dunhill Company and Dunhill Pipes, and it's just legendary. The mystique that's behind it, the exquisite craftsmanship, and of course the history and the importance that company has played in the development of the pipe world and the pipe community. And so tonight, we're actually honored to have the American distributor for Dunhill Pipes, Chris Feltz with Augusta USA, is going to join us, and got some good questions to ask him. We're excited about sharing that.
All right, man. Well, let's throw it to you and Chris from Augusta USA.
All right. So here on Country Squire Radio, we are pleased to have Chris Feltz with Augusta USA. Chris is the distributor of Dunhill Pipes, the White Spot Pipes, here in the United States. And man, Chris, we're so glad to have you, brother.
Well, thank you, John David. Appreciate you taking the time to speak with me.
Yeah, man, it's great. We're fired up. Just Dunhill, of course, is such a legendary brand, and the market's changing a lot. And Dunhill is one of those brands that has been just so stable and constant for literally a century. And lots going on in the pipe industry. We thought it'd be a good time to check in with one of the most venerated brands in the world. So, we're thrilled. Tell me, how does one come to work for, probably the most revered pipe brand in the world? How'd you get hooked up with Dunhill?
Well, it was by luck. When I got out of the Marines, I got off active duty in 2000, started college here at Middle Tennessee State and studied agricultural business and was going to go work for the USDA. But I started working part-time at a cigar shop here in town, and they were a retailer of Dunhill pipes and accessories. And I started learning more and more about them, and I just knew it was this high-end luxury, just this beautiful handcrafted stuff from England, and it just really was exciting. Well, later on in time, a few years later, as I was graduating, another company picked up distribution here in the United States, and they brought me along to manage and run all aspects of Alfred Dunhill's smokers products. And so that's what I'd been doing since 2003. And then in 2017, that company closed, and that's when USA took over.
Music City Marketing, is that right? Kind of pipe shop, smoke shop, wholesaler, lots of different stuff. And one of the many things I guess they did was the White Spot Dunhill products. And so you kind of quarterbacked that for them, before I rudely interrupted, you kind of moved off on your own after they closed. Is that right?
That's correct. After they closed, I took over distribution along with the owners who are from Rome, Italy. They are the distributors in Italy and Switzerland for Dunhill.
Yeah.
And so I run their office here, do all the office aspects, everything. And we've been doing great. Opened up in September of 2017 and running wide open.
That's great, brother. You know, it's so funny. I kind of do have to chuckle, you know, a little bit when I think about the most sophisticated brand in all of pipedom, and the U.S. representative for this brand sounds just like I do. You're just a good old Tennessee boy, man. I love it. I love it. It's really
that's
great.
That's right.
Well, that's awesome. Why do you think, you know, Dunhill, we'll talk about this, the brand in general over the past, century really, but why do you think Dunhill has had that kind of lasting popularity that it's enjoyed?
Well, number one is because Dunhill has always been a mysterious brand in the pipe world. They do not they do not give tours of the factory. They keep things very quiet about their processes, about manufacturing and everything else. So that's led throughout all these decades of all this mysterious knowledge about what people think goes on there and how they produce the product and make it. But also it's the history of the brand. How Alfred Dunhill got started making automobile gauges when the automobile first came out, and how he came to making a pipe when he was working with automotives. So all of that leads up to still all the same questions people have today. It's just a mysterious, very well-known luxury brand.
Yeah. Yeah. And it really is a luxury brand. You know, it's one of those things that we, you know, you think you've seen an expensive high-end pipe and then you see the price tag on a Dunhill and you're like, man, that's really something. You know, you've kind of made it when you can, put enough of your shekels back and save them to buy that first, White Spot pipe. What do you think makes a Dunhill pipe unique compared to other pipes?
Well, if I were to give it just a few words on what makes it unique, it's their process of manufacturing the pipe. It's their the same 90 steps that they go through from start to finish that they have done ever since the beginning of when they started in 1912. It's all those steps and the quality control that I must say has gotten so much better in the past 15 years. All of those aspects, those 90 steps, then when it finally passes the last quality control and goes out on the table for sale, that's kind of what makes it what it is. So all those aspects come into play.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, there's, you talk about the mystery behind it, the mysterious kind of the veil that, of course, is held there. And, you know, there's all the, you know, rumors or the, are the pipes still oil cured? And, you know, how long do they age the briar and that kind of stuff? Do you have any insight on that you can share?
Well, I do, because as a distributor, I've been able to, of course, I've been to the factory some once, maybe twice every year since 2003. And I've seen all the processes of how they're made. I've seen all these things, but there are still, even when I'm there, there are some, there's some things that they will cover up with a blanket that they still won't let me see. I have seen the oil curing process take place. I have seen this pegboard, so to say, of once the pipes are dipped in, or however long, this is one thing they don't tell me, how long they are soaked in this oil, which they still won't tell me what kind it is. I've seen the machine that dries it and extracts it back out of the pipe. I've seen them in that process. I've seen all the other, how they hand bend the mouthpieces and cut them from a solid rod, put in the white spot, staining, stamping, shaping the pipe. I mean, everything.
Yeah.
And it's all these guys that are doing it. Some of them have been doing it over 50 years.
Wow.
So there's a lot of knowledge behind making these pipes. And they actually do have two apprentices that have been making pipes for about 5 years now. Which is good, because, as you know, some of the people are retiring, the pipe makers.
Yeah.
And so they were lucky to find a couple of apprentices about 5 years ago, and they've just started making their own pipes for Dunhill. Wow. So we're very lucky for that.
That's awesome. It's like, man, everyone would like to have that job. You know, it's like, I want to be the next guy at Dunhill making these, you know, the best pipes in the world. That's exciting. That's really cool. So you actually get to go to the factory then on a regular basis, just to kind of have updates of the brand. But it's interesting that they don't pull the curtain back completely, even for you, because they're keeping their cards close to their chest. Like you said, that's part of the mystique, I guess, of it. You know, we think about things that aren't very well understood, how people kind of gravitate towards that. So that makes a lot of sense to me. Yeah,
that's exactly right. And that is what they do. We go to the factory every year. We handpick every pipe that comes into the U.S. market.
Oh, wow.
So that's why we go there multiple times a year, to refresh our stock and pick everything out in person.
Okay. And, you know, that's interesting. What is the Dunhill market like in the United States compared to other parts of the world? Is it similar? Is it larger? Is it smaller? What, kind of give us a perspective on that.
Up until about, I'd say, 8-10 years ago, the U.S. was the largest market for Dunhill and White Spot product. But Asia has since taken that over. The Asian market is very, very big on brand. They're very brand name aware type people. And the Alfred Dunhill brand, whether it be clothing or the White Spot Smokers products, they are very big into that. And so therefore the Asian market has taken over as the largest market in the world.
Yeah. Which makes a lot of sense. And, you know, you even hear from artisan carvers, a lot of their most premium stuff doesn't even get released to the American market. It goes straight, straight to China and Japan and all the new wealth that's been created over there.
Exactly.
So that makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, we've mentioned this a couple times, even just talking here over the few minutes, but, you know, there is some confusion. A lot of folks, they hear this term, the white spot. And of course, we're familiar with the iconic Dunhill logo, which is just the very tiny white dot that's on the top of every ebonite stem that is hand cut by Dunhill. It's always beautiful. It's very simple and elegant. But, more and more over the past several years, we've been hearing the white spot more and more, and even stamped on the pipes that way. And then, Dunhill, it being called Alfred Dunhill or the white spot by Dunhill. What, tell us about kind of how that, why is the white spot kind of becoming Dunhill's name and less Dunhill pipes? Can you kind of walk us through that a little bit?
Sure. If we go back in time, we go back to the 1920s and look in some of the brochures, you would always see the white spot guarantee. And that was the guarantee that Alfred Dunhill put on his products, guaranteed for, 2 years, any manufacturer's defects will replace it. That was the guarantee that you got when you purchased his product, was the white spot guarantee. So that logo has been around since the late 1920s, around that time frame.
Yeah.
And what these days, probably in the, I'd say in the 80s, Alfred Dunhill, the family sold the company to a Swiss company, Richemont, and they are one of the world's largest luxury goods company. They own Cartier, Montblanc, numerous 15 to 20 luxury brands. Alfred Dunhill being one of them.
So it's kind of a conglomerate in luxury brand, everything from crystal to fountain pens.
Exactly. That's right. They own majority of luxury goods out there. So a few years ago, as we know, if you also go back in time, you see that Alfred Dunhill products were always into clothing, and they still are today. Well, when you belong to a large company like that, and you have two totally different brands, smokers' products versus clothing, there is some headbutting going on between the two. So in order for the smokers' division to set themselves apart from the clothing division, they needed to use one of Alfred Dunhill's other names, which was the white spot.
Yeah.
So what this led to was all because if they want to put out let's just say they want to come out with another cigar cutter or another pipe tamper, it does not have to go through all of the processes of approval through the entire chain of Dunhill worldwide. It can be manufactured and approved through the smokers division in London themselves because it's branded with their logo on it, which is the white spot.
Yeah.
So this helps us all. Whereas before it could take up to, 2-3 years to get even such things as a simple pipe tamper approved to be manufactured because it had to go through so many people. So when they decided, okay, we will just use one of our other logos that hasn't been seen since the last time they really used it out in public was around in the 60s or 70s. It was used a lot. So therefore, the accessories, the pipe boxes are all being stamped now the white spot. The pipes are being stamped Alfred Dunhill's with a plural S, the white spot. This was also an old stamping that Alfred Dunhill used to use on his pipes. The logos on the pipes have changed in many different fashions about every decade and a half anyway.
Yeah.
So there's nothing new to change the logo.
Yeah.
But it was in the end, it was a way for them to separate the smoker division from the clothing division. And it just makes everything run so much smoother. But believe me, the product is still made in the same factory.
Yeah.
Product still made the same way by the same people.
Yeah. It makes a lot of sense, when you do kind of step back and think about it. I know there's a lot of, business decisions that went into that and probably some, marketing kind of things that, people, if you've got that much money tied up in a company and so many different companies, you've got to be thinking about all these various facets of, of the, you know, business model. But, you know, when you're selling, when you're trying to sell wallets and money clips and, you know, handbags and, you know, leather goods and jackets and top hats and things like that, I guess it's just a very different thing in some sense than a Dunhill pipe. And so, you know, I guess from a streamlining standpoint, it does make a good bit of sense.
It does. Of course, you know, we, you know, you and I and all of us, you know, still always wish that, you know, they didn't have to come back with one of their other names, that we could all still, you know, advertise it as Dunhill London products and Alfred Dunhill products. But, you know, things change, times change, and, you know, people have gotten used to it now, because it has been about 4 years going on now. That we've introduced the White Spot name back out there. So, and we've gotten, some good thoughts and good feedback from it. So
yeah,
it just takes a little time.
And it's obvious that the product is the same, that it's a Dunhill pipe. I mean, each and every pipe is still stamped Alfred Dunhill's, the White Spot, which is, you know, obviously, you know, important. And then, you know, the finishes are the same. You're still making the shell, you're still making the you know, the Cumberland, you're still making the Ruby Bark, and you know, and the Dress Pipe and all the other favorites, the Bruyere that we love. So all that makes a lot of sense. What is your favorite finish? The most expensive one?
an outdoors type person. For me, it would probably be the Cumberland finish, because or any of the sandblast finishes, because I'm outdoors all the time. If you drop it, believe me, it's not going to hurt it. You're not going to see if it dings the pipe, because it's nice and sandblasted. It's more rugged is what I'm getting at. And that's kind of what I like.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Are the sandblasted pipes, do they tend to be the better sellers in the American market?
Yes, because any of the sandblasted finishes are still a little lower on the price scale than any of the smooth finishes. There will always be more sandblast pipes available than smooth finishes, just like we know that. So therefore, that leads them to be a better seller than a smooth pipe.
Yeah, yeah, that makes sense. And so, you know, you're just going to move more of those pipes than you had. Yeah, you know, it was interesting. You talked about with the former distributor that you worked for, Music City. They kind of closed their doors, and there's been some consolidation and upheaval in the pipe industry over the past couple of years. It just with regulations and all this other stuff. You know, so Dunhill, I guess, technically was off the market for in the United States anyway for about a year. Is that correct?
Well, actually, it was only for about 3.5 months. Technically, it was off the market from May 2017 till September of 17. During that time, when the other company closed their doors, beginning of May, it then went back into the hands of Alfred Dunhill in London while they searched for another distributor. So we didn't get to make it to the trade show, and for about 3-something months it was off the market. But then we were back open middle of September.
Yeah, yeah. Has anything really changed from your perspective? You know, with the kind of new push, Dunhill's back. You know, you're still offering obviously the same extremely high quality products or anything. You know, is anything from the company side kind of changed with that new model?
Nothing has changed in the perspective of Dunhill in London. On our end, a lot has changed, being with Augusta USA and the owners being in Rome, Italy. He travels to the factory every 2 months and picks out pipes. We are getting the best of the best pipes that are coming out of the factory.
Yeah.
And we are getting constant shipments in. Whereas before, we were only allowed to go, I was only allowed with the previous company to go once a year to pick out pipe.
Yeah.
So the U.S. market did not get the best selection of pipes that the factory was putting out because of not being able to be there quite often when new products came out and this and that. So the selection that the U.S. market is seeing now and will see in the future will be, I would say, 110 times better than they've seen since 2003.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's really cool. I got to meet you for the first time face to face in Chicago at the pipe show just a couple of weeks ago. And it was incredibly apparent the quality of the pipes that you had there on hand. Not just the quality. Obviously, every Dunhill pipe is going to be high quality, but the variety that you had. There were some of the more popular finishes and shapes and combinations. It was encouraging to see that.
Well, that's exactly right, and that's what we look for when we go pick out the pipes for our inventory to start with, is we look for, you always have to have the standard shapes. You've got to have the billiard. You've got to have the bulldogs. But we also look for the rarities. They're starting to do a lot of remakes from the 1930s catalogs.
I love that. Yeah.
So we'll see some shapes that have similarities to a current shape, but they are the exact copy of the pipe that was made from the 30s. We're starting to see more and more of that. So we will look for those odd little pieces coming out. We'll grab anything that's different that we can get our hands on. So yeah. We're really, really pleased with what's coming out of the factory.
That's great. That's great. Yeah, it was exciting to see some of that. Of course, you're going to have the enthusiasts that are going to, you know, want the new model of something that hasn't been on the market for decades, you know, which is really, really cool. So, that's great.
That's exactly right. We try to just as big of a variety as the factory will produce. We try to keep all aspects of that in stock at all times, and like I said, with going to the factory every couple months, we're on top of what's coming out of production, so we're getting our hands on it.
That's great. That's great. You know, one other thing, as we kind of come to the close and wrap up, there's been, we talk about confusion. There's been a lot of confusion over the past couple of years. You know, we heard that Dunhill pipe tobaccos were going away. This has been, I guess maybe a year and a half ago now, and there was this big rush towards Dunhill pipe tobacco because, you know, they're going off the market, and people kind of correlated that, I think, with the whole move away from Dunhill to the White Spot and everything. But what a lot of folks don't understand are these are all completely separate issues, and actually the Alfred Dunhill Company hasn't had anything to do with pipe tobacco in, almost 30 years. Can you kind of enlighten folks that maybe aren't familiar with that that whole arrangement?
Sure, and you're exactly right. Alfred Dunhill Smokers Division, or Alfred Dunhill as a company, has not had any aspects, any holding shares, anything to do with tobacco products. Tobacco, cigars, cigarettes, since the mid-80s. That's when they sold off all the rights to all of those brands, all of those different cigars and pipe tobacco and stuff.
Actual tobacco products, not the smoking implements themselves, but the tobacco products, yeah.
That's right. The actual smoking part of the brand. But we do not have anything, any say-so or anything what happens to that. And therefore, I'm only hearing the same thing that you are, it is going off the market, and I've not heard a reason why, but it's going to be a shame because I was at the Orlik factory in Denmark a few years ago watching the Dunhill pipe tobacco being made. And they had the exact recipes from that Dunhill used back in all those decades. And they were making it to the T. And I was very pleased and happy that it was still being done that way. So, unfortunately, I would just say people get their hands on as much as they can right now.
Yeah, yeah, and that's what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny. Well, man, dude, thanks so much for joining us. As an aside, like, how did you get into pipe smoking?
Just being around the brand, talking. I visit tobacco shops all across the U.S. and talking to these guys that have owned the store since the 70s or 60s or however long, and talking to them about different tobaccos and how they smoke and all this aspects like that. So they kind of coached me along the way, finding the best tobacco that works right for me and all that kind of stuff. So just through trial and error.
Yeah, and I guess just being around the industry. Some, you mentioned, working at the smoke shop there in Tennessee. What was the name of that shop?
That was Uptown Smoke Shop.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's right. Yeah. And they're still there in Nashville, I believe. Is that right?
One is still open in Nashville. The one that I worked at in Franklin had closed years ago. Okay. They do still have one open right now, though.
In Nashville. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, man, that's great. If people want to learn more about Dunhill, what is the best way? Dunhill, I guess, the White Spot Pipes, there's not really a central website necessarily for that. Is that correct?
No, there's not. And the only reason that there isn't is because the people at the factory, there used to be, years ago, a historian, so to say, and he kept up with, the beginning of when social media started taking off and website and all kinds of information like that. But he has since retired, and there just simply isn't anybody at the factory that, number one, has time to dedicate themselves to that. So there's really not much information out there from the factory themselves, but there is lots of reading information about the history of Alfred Dunhill and things like that that anybody can look up on the website.
It's really cool, to me. It's kind of funny because, any other brand, that would be an impossible situation, where you don't have a whole fleet of sites that are up and being updated constantly. But Dunhill, it's just such a legacy historic brand that, those guys are so focused on making pipes over there in London that they they don't have time for Twitter and everything else. And frankly, they don't have to, and that's, I don't know, you got to respect that. And frankly, as a retailer, I envy that.
Well, that's exactly right. And that's, and the times that I've brought it up in the past, with they said, well, what do you want us to do? Sit on the computer all day and type, or do you want us to make pipes?
That's
and
right.
I said, well, okay, I can answer that for you. Why don't you just keep making pipes?
Let me do the groundwork for you.
Yeah. That's right.
Well, brother, man, it's so great to talk to you. Man, Chris Feltz with Augusta USA, the American distributor for Dunhill, the White Spot Pipes. And, brother, it's great to have you on. We appreciate you a bunch.
I appreciate it, John David. And anytime, just let me know.
That sounds great. Thanks a bunch, man.
Man, what a great discussion. Yeah, man, that's really awesome.
Yeah, it was good. I enjoyed talking to him. I do have to laugh. It is funny talking to someone that represents such a sophisticated brand. And he sounds like me, like he just kind of fell off the turnip truck,
He did have that southern draw. I liked that.
He's good people, man. Chris is salt of the earth. He's really good at his job. He's very very knowledgeable about these products, and of course works hard and is a good representative for him. But Dunhill, it's just the best. I mean, it really is. And of course, you have folks that they save up enough of their pennies, and that's one of the things that is like, okay, I've arrived. I've bought my Dunhill, and man, we're glad to kind kind of unpack some of that. It's exciting to see them vibrant in the U.S. market and continuing to grow, getting cool new pieces out there. And so, we'll continue to follow them over the years to come.
Well, man, somebody that we have really enjoyed following over the years past and looking forward to following even more in the years to come is our good friends over at Missouri Meerschaum.
That's right, man. I know. Talk about quality pipes. That's right. So we have Missouri Meerschaum, our good friends there, making some of the best pipes in America.
Yeah, man, I'm really stoked because not only will I be enjoying the gifted Panama Jack Pina Colada, I'll actually be enjoying it in my Missouri Meerschaum Little Devil.
That's right, man.
Pipe that's sponsoring this show.
I know. So we love the Little Devil. It's one of their newer pipes, and it's been wildly popular, of course. It comes in an acorn and a cutty variety. This is a really nice pocket pipe for the size and length of the pipe. It's got a generous bowl, just that really popular kind of black rustic finish on the, it's a smooth finish, but the kind of black mottled finish on the outside of the bowl, and as always a high quality black stem there at the end. So just an excellent pipe. It's a good travel pipe, one of those that you can tote with you, and I'm sure will serve you well on the beach.
Yeah, absolutely. You're sitting there on the deck, you're looking at the beach, you read your pirate novels, and you got your Little Devil in your mouth.
Little Devil,
it's
baby.
It's gonna be good, man.
I know it.
I can't wait.
It's gonna be solid.
So if you got a Little Devil, smoke it this week. Take a picture of yourself while you do. We love to retweet those out. It's a great way to let the folks at Missouri Meerschaum know that we appreciate them for sponsoring this show.
You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand. And even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Pipe question of the week.
All right, man, we got a great pipe question of the week in this week.
Yeah.
This actually comes in from Gregory, as he requested he be called. It's a question for the show. I just recently found the podcast, and you guys are great. Thank you. I'm really enjoying it. I've enjoyed pipes over the years, but due to some health issues, I've moved over to vaping, naturally extracted pipe tobacco through various e-pipes, and So far, I'm loving it. I have a collection of about 7 different e-pipes that look similar to my old tobacco pipes. There's some pipe smiths out there making some beautiful e-pipes now. I'm still in the process of catching up prior to shows, but I'm curious as to how you guys, how you feel about pipe smokers moving over to vaping, and if you embrace this at your store at all. Thanks.
Man, doggone it. Gregory, dude.
That's about the best pitch for vaping I've ever heard.
It is. And
it's probably also the only good pitch for vaping, well, ever, if I'm being honest.
And it might be. And, you know, of course, Gregory, man, this is kind of a loaded question, right? I mean, I'm happy in some sense you found something that works for you. And, man, you know, I think that's great. You know, in our shop at the Squire, we're really old fashioned. You know, we don't sell e-cigarettes or hookahs or gosh, anything that you know, looks like, you know, it's anything modern. We're pretty old school. You know, I have heard of other shops that are kind of branching into the e-pipe industry, and this is actually news to me. I didn't realize that some artisan makers were getting into the e-pipe world. So man, I say more power to you. It's not something that you know, I ever find myself particularly interested in. We love you know, premium tobacco. We love the aroma that's a part of it, the flavor that's a part of it, the process of lighting and tamping and all those things that make it so special. You know, it's for each his own. You know, it's not something necessarily that we embrace, but not from a judgment standpoint, just from a you know, just not our
just preference,
not our cup of tea standpoint.
Yeah.
I guess that kind of thing. So you know, we but I have seen some, you know, different pipes, not up close, but, you know, just pipes that, you know, are made with the, you know, basically to use as a vaping tool. And, yeah, I'd be interested in learning more about it. I don't know a lot about it, but, you know, don't see anytime soon carrying that kind of stuff at the Squire. I think it's interesting in my general sense in the pipe community, because occasionally this comes up, you know, is that is not... not something that crosses over really well. You know, you've got some pipe enthusiasts that might be interested in that, but I think it's going to be more one or the other, you know, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. It's just kind of the nature of it.
Yeah, I mean, and who knows? At some point, maybe this might require
change.
Its own episode, but,
yeah,
you know, I've always kind of seen it as vaping being kind of the alternative, specifically for what you're talking about here in terms of health issues or
yeah,
you know, for somebody who may have an addiction, as kind of, you know, facilitating a habitual action without, you know, getting
all the negative effects.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But for most, I mean, we've talked about this before, and of course, obviously, this is probably a broader brush than one should paint with. But I mean, it typically seems that a pipe smoker is less likely to be addicted,
yeah,
to tobacco than, say, like a cigarette smoker.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, obviously there's exceptions to that rule, but because of all the actions required,
yeah,
like if you're addicted to nicotine, if you're addicted to tobacco, you're not smoking a pipe.
The pipe is not the preferred instrument of delivery in that case. Yeah. But it sure is a lot of work to
You got to work for it with the pipe. And I think for me personally, that's one of...
I agree. I think actually that's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
I really do. Hey, great question, man. And I think, you know, like we said, man, more power to you. Glad you found something that works for us. I don't personally see a lot of crossover, because all the knickknacks and the experience of the pipe and the process is a lot of the fun for me. And I you know, maybe some of that translates into the e-pipe world, but I'm just not familiar with it.
No, I would be curious to hear some thoughts too from listeners as to what y'all's thoughts are in that department as well. But great question, Gregory. And hey, if you've got a pipe question of the week, send it in. Show@ countrysquireradio.com.
Quick fire
with the Squire. Quick fire, Chris Jones.
Ow!
All right, man. Quick fire questions brought to us by the good folks at Tin Society. More on them in just a moment. But we are continuing on the quick fire questions that we've gotten from Anonymous. And all right, so here we go. The theme of this one, again, we're working together. That's what Anonymous has been trying to get us to do.
Working together right through, and then we've got different themes. Okay?
Exactly. And by the way, when I say Anonymous, we're not, of course, talking about the Hacktivist group. We are talking about somebody who has wished to remain nameless, as they have sent in these questions to us. And here we go. The theme is adventure. We're working together.
Okay.
First to climb a new mountain, or first to explore an undisturbed tomb?
Ooh.
Ooh. Interesting.
Undisturbed tomb. Like, give me King Tut, baby. Like, I want to be the guy that goes in there and sees, like, things that haven't been seen for like millennia.
So I'm, as long as it's like wide enough that I can like stretch my arms out, then I'm there. I don't want to like crawl through
claustrophobic
like,
kind of stuff.
I can't crawl the stuff through it. But I do feel like that compared to mountain climbing, which sounds awesome.
It's pretty cool.
But it also sounds like a lot of work.
If I could just walk into like a pyramid that's already been excavated except for this one room, and then I just walk into that room and I'm the first guy, I'd do that.
We'll hold up the torches. I mean, we'll get tired holding up the torches if we're being honest. We can't rock climb.
That's fantastic.
Spelunk.
I know, right?
All right, so next one is explore the ocean depths or spend time in the Earth's orbit.
Man, these are good questions.
They are.
Wow. I'd love to know who Anonymous is because they seem really thoughtful. I'm probably going to go with spend time in Earth's orbit. I'm a space nerd. I've always been kind of a physics junkie from a very uninformed standpoint. But the whole quantum mechanics and relativity and all that stuff really interests me. The cosmology and astronomy. I don't know. I might have to go with space.
You know, I'm fascinated by. And I think I've mentioned this on the show before, but I mean, I'm fascinated by the amount of unexplored areas on Earth specifically in terms of the depths of our own ocean and like what still lives down there and what can be found. And if you think about, I just even in the golden age of piracy and just when like the world was run by all these ships and how much of that history was sunk down to the bottom of the ocean.
Yeah.
And how much is still down there? How much treasure and doubloons are still down there?
Oh, it's true, man.
Plus sea monsters, the Kraken and the Megalodon and all of these like, ancient sea creatures.
That's true.
That could be out there.
That's true.
It's terrifying. I'm going to space. Yeah, let's do space. All right, and then finally, first contact with an undiscovered people, or discover a new, though long gone, ancient civilization. Let's see. Let's think about that, because that sounds kind of similar, right?
Yeah. Let's see. First contact with undiscovered people, or discover a
new,
basically ancient civilization that never.
I don't know if I tell you what, let's flip it on this one. So how about maybe first contact with space aliens?
Okay.
Or from a long gone ancient civilization, undiscovered ancient civilization on Earth.
I think I'd rather go with the space aliens.
Yeah, how did we find them? Did they come to us and like they're cool or like
okay, so
you know
that
I mean?
So is that part of your answer? Would that be that your answer would depend on that, right?
Yeah,
they came to us and they're cool and friendly, or we went and found them and then they were like, oh wait, what is this? We got to quash these people.
I kind of feel like in both of these situations, we're talking about like groups of people that have like far superior technology than what we're comfortable with.
Yeah,
like even an ancient civilization on Earth that has yet to be quote discovered,
right,
has done something technologically to like remove them from the planet.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, it made them undiscoverable.
Yeah. So it's like and then the aliens, they traveled from space from areas that we've never seen before. This is a terrifying scenario, one way or the other, in terms of like are we technologically ready to have these conversations? Are the Vulcans ready to come down and say like, you made it, you did this one thing that makes it okay?
I initially went with aliens, but I'm gonna go with the undiscovered civilization on Earth because they're probably going to be much more understanding and friendly,
right,
towards pipe smoking.
Yeah, that's good. And at least we got the whole like, hey, yeah, humans, awesome.
No, that's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
Shared technology, as opposed to aliens who might be like, oh yeah, we're gonna invade your planet and kill you all
and take all your resources.
Exactly. Let's go with that. All right, well, great questions again from Anonymous. These great quick fire questions, of course, brought to us by the good folks at the Tin Society.
Yeah, man, the Tin Society. Of course, man, one of the leading pipe hobby. Gosh. Mike, sorry about that.
No, that's all right. Tin Society, an amazing online service. This is great. It's a subscription service where you get quality tobacco sent to you on a monthly basis. If you want to expand your palate, taste what's out there, if you want to have the palate of John David Cole to be able to pick out the little this and little that and all the different words and intricacies that he mentions on the show, pretend like you know what he's talking about by actually knowing what you're talking about and expanding your palate with the Tin Society. If you go to tinsociety.com and use the code SQUIRE, you get 20% off on your first month's service. plus a free Missouri Meerschaum pipe. Man, I cannot tell you how much we love the folks over there. They are passionate pipe people. They love tobacco. They love the pipes. They love the craft. They love the community. And they're definitely a service you want to get behind. So again, that's tentsociety.com. Use the code SQUIRE for 20% off on your first month's service.
Your thoughts, your comments. Listener feedback.
All right, man, listener feedback.
Yes, sir.
All right, the first one comes in. We got an iTunes review from Bullfella73. What do you have to say?
Yeah, he says, Samaritans of Smoke. Ooh, is he talking about us?
Yeah, that's cool.
Not everyone that loves the pipes has someone to share their love of pipes with. Sadly, the company is limited. This is where my boys JD and Bo come in. They offer terrific insight into the piping life. The podcast that helps those of us in the community find excellent blends, pipes, and ways to approach our hobby. Not only this, but it puts you in that zen-like pocket that a perfect bowl of baccy should. Thanks for offering the most excellent company and being the magnificent Samaritans of Smoke that you guys are. Man, great high praise, brother. Thank you so much. I'm glad we can assist you a little bit along your pipe journey.
Man, absolutely. We also got a message in from JD Smoking Pipes. I believe this came in from YouTube.
Yeah. Jim DeShane. Let's see. He says, another great Chicago pipe show, guys. Great to see you again, Jonathan. I love Jim because JD, he always calls me.
Calls you by Christian.
He always calls me Jonathan. Yeah, which I really appreciate that. Yeah, you know, it's not an old. He's not an old friend, but that's I know my old friends when they call me Jonathan.
Yeah, that's
good stuff.
That's good.
He goes on to say, missed you, Bo. Bo, you keep talking about barbecue and tobaccos to pair it with. How about some gumbo and jambalaya and tobacco? I hear you make a palatable dish. Challenge issued. he says, man, have a great week, guys. And that's Jim from JD Smoking Pipes. Of course, incredibly talented pipe carver from California and a very good friend of the show.
Oh, the carver of the nicest pipe I own. Absolutely. JD, I am with you on that one, man.
Now I have to argue this whole deal about the ridiculousness of barbecue and pairing it with pipe tobacco, and now we've got an episode to get past beyond that where we have to do gumbo and jambalaya.
An after dinner, like that could be the theme, right? It could be an after dinner series of you just had this exquisite meal. Because, you know, what is better after a really like good meal? Your tummy's full. You just had some good quality food.
A drink and a pipe.
A drink and a pipe.
No, I mean, that's fair. That's fair. Okay.
All right. So it's at some point, JD, we're working. Well, JD Smoking Pipes.
Right.
DeShane, man, we're working him. Getting there.
Well, you know, eventually maybe you'll wear it down. But right now the shell is still very hard.
Oh, my gosh. Pharaoh's heart was hardened even more. Well, man, what a great episode. You know, we've got to tell you an episode like this one where we've got a guest calling in requires a little bit of extra technical work. And so, you know, we don't do it enough and we absolutely should, but big shouts out to our producer, Mike, who does all the kind of the behind the scenes work and making us sound, I mean, like, if we sound good, it's because of Mike. I guess that's right. The way to say it,
that's
right?
That's exactly right. Yeah.
Especially this episode. He really had to go above and beyond, so big shouts out to him. Also, we want to encourage you, we will be back live next Monday night with the special episode going with the deep dive into these new FDA announcements. You can listen to us at CountrySquireRadio.com. Join us at 8:30 p.m. Central. That's 6:30 Pacific, 9:30 Eastern. You can also follow us throughout the week. You can follow me. I'm at The Real Bo York.
I'm at John David Cole, or you can get us at the shop at @_CountrySquire.
And of course, the show's handle is @SquireRadio. But again, all that information and more can be found at CountrySquireRadio.com. Well, man, what a great episode.
Dude, we had fun, man. Yeah, it was good to catch up with Chris and, man, some a little bit of encouraging news, you know, here and there. And yeah, it's good times in the pipe world.
Absolutely, man. It's good. Looking forward to next week, too, and being back after my, hopefully I'll be tanned and not burned.
Yeah, you'll probably look like a lobster.
Yeah, I'll be crisp. It'll be good. Well, hey, man, let's go have a night.
See you, brother.
Been listening to Country Squire Radio, a member of the Podastery Network. For more information on this and other shows, please visit podastery.com.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.